all part of our, what do you call it in your polemics? Our cultural decay, he said gently. Hell yes, she said. But before his easy grace, she felt a little embarrassed by her sourness. Hiram was still talking.
Not just a stunt. I was born in 1967, during the summer of love. Of course, some say the 60s were a cultural revolution that led nowhere. Perhaps that's true, directly. But it, and its music of love and hope, played a great part in shaping me and others of my generation.
Bobby caught Kate's eye. He mimed vomiting with a splayed hand, and she had to cover her mouth to keep from laughing.
And at the height of that summer, on 25 June 1967, a global television show was mounted to demonstrate the power of the nascent communications network.
Behind Hiram, the V-Fab drummer counted out a beat, and the group started playing, a dirge-like parody of the Marseillaise that gave way to finely sung three-part harmony.
This was Britain's contribution,
Hiram called over the music.
A song about love, sung to 200 million people around the world. That show was called Our World. Yes, that's right. That's where I got the name from. I know it's a little corny, but as soon as I saw the tapes of that event at 10 years old, I knew what I wanted to do with my life.
Corny, yes, thought Kate, but undeniably effective. The audience was gazing spellbound at Hiram's giant image as the music of a summer seven decades gone reverberated around the cafeteria.
And now,
said Hiram with a showman's flourish,
I believe I have achieved my life's goal. I'd suggest holding on to something, even someone else's hand.
The floor turned transparent. Suddenly suspended over empty space, Kate felt herself stagger, her eyes deceived despite the solidity of the floor beneath her feet. There was a gale of nervous laughter, a few screams, the gentle tinkle of dropped glass. Kate was surprised to find she had grabbed onto Bobby's arm. She could feel a knot of muscle there. He had covered her hand with his, apparently without calculation. She let her hand stay where it was, for now. She seemed to be hovering over a starry sky, as if this cafeteria had been transported into space. But these stars, arrayed against a black sky, were gathered and harnessed into a cubical lattice, linked by a subtle tracery of multicolored light. Looking into the lattice, the images receding with distance, Kate felt as if she were staring down an infinitely long tunnel. With the music still playing around him, so artfully, subtly different from the original recording, Hiram said,
You aren't looking up into the sky, into space. Instead, you are looking down into the deepest structure of matter. This is a crystal of diamond. The white points you see are carbon atoms. The links are the valence forces that join them. I want to emphasize that what you are going to see, though enhanced, is not a simulation. With modern technology, scanning tunneling microscopes, for instance, we can build up images of matter even at this most fundamental of levels. Everything you see is real. Now, come further.
Holographic images rose to fill the room, as if the cafeteria and all its occupants were sinking into the lattice and shrinking the while. Carbon atoms swelled over Kate's head like pale gray balloons. There were tantalizing hints of structure in their interior. And all around her, space sparkled. Points of light winked into existence only to be snuffed out immediately. It was quite extraordinarily beautiful, like swimming through a firefly cloud.
You're looking at space. Empty space. This is the stuff that fills the universe. But now we are seeing space at a resolution far finer than the limits of the human eye, a level at which individual electrons are visible. And at this level, quantum effects become important. Empty space is actually full of fluctuating energy fields. and these fields manifest themselves as particles.